Welcome everybody to ISO Radio. My name is ZenZZ17.
And I'm GD3.
And we welcome you to our show, because there's only like three of you and you make us feel pretty cool, because we're on the radio, kinda.
We feel so important.
We're special. And this week we've got news about things, because that's pretty cool.
They're good things too, you know.
They're not good things!
I didn't think so.
And we got reviews of stuff, because they suck and need to know.
They suck bad.
Like, things that are like vacuums suck like that.
I thought the vacuum...
It's funny, you laugh! And also the things with the hot spot, because we're the sexy bitches.
The sexiest of all.
All of the sexy. And then we got us the audience, because no one will listen to us unless we get tripped. Bam! You know, I really like the shows that you guys had me watch in a way, but I kind of didn't like them after a while, but then they were kind of good when I got thinking about it, so I want to thank
you. Shut up, audience! Thank you!
No, you be quiet, because I'm talking here, and I like those shows that you let me ball with all the pretty boys, because they were so pretty, BB3. And those pretty boys were very pretty. I wasn't supposed to talk about Yaoi on there.
They're almost as pretty as you.
And that's what it would have been like if ASO Radio was an early 90s anime comedy.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the taco of all ages! Welcome to ASO Radio, episode number 65. This is the real NZ17.
And the one and only GB3.
Bringing you the final episode of season 5. Yes, the 65th episode marks the final entry into season 5.
Oh, hopefully it's not as bad as last week, NZ.
I hope we never have to touch last week again. last week was our dark and morbid episode, which proves exactly why you should not have your radio host have only a collective amount of only, we'll say, 7 hours of sleep between the two of them before doing an episode of any radio program, internet or no. I think we've proved ourselves, DB3, that we can be God.
Yes, yes.
But regardless of that, we have a pretty good show this week, all in all.
I'm pretty excited for it.
No audience this week. Apparently, she's too busy not being contactable.
Yeah, we both tried calling her, and, well, I couldn't ever get a hold of her.
You know, she was supposed to have been in Denver yesterday. I almost wonder if she, like, had some special anime thing there without us, you know.
You know, if she did, I'd be sad.
Yeah, that would be sad.
But then again, she might have bought more anime.
Maybe she bought us tickets to NanDesuCon.
Maybe she bought anime for us to borrow.
Yeah, you're so crazy. Anyways, we don't have very much news for you this week, but we will be making up for that fact with two different fan mail, believe it or not.
Two!
And we will be bringing you two...
Two
different anime reviews, or three, actually. Three! You know, now we're starting to sound like the funny. so we got three different shows this week. We have the box set of Metal Fighters Maker.
Very good.
We also have something else.
Half Dragon?
Dragon Half.
Oh,
yes,
Dragon Half.
Which is a two-part OAV, which needed about at least one more part. and then we have Super Gals, which makes me think of, like, Gals Fighter for the Neo Geo Pocket Color, because the names, you know. But regardless of that fact, I'll be reviewing this show, since DB3 didn't get the opportunity, really, to watch this before the show this week. But he will be providing his unique commentary along the way.
Unique.
Yes, unique. And we will be topping off this final episode of the season, which, from the sound of what we've said so far, is going to be a very excellent show. We're going to top off this last entry with the Hotspot soundtrack review for Fruits Basket Memory for You. So, all in all, a very hearty and nutritious Acer Radio episode.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Okay, DB3, how about you start us off this week by talking about Central Media's price drop on their Slayers box sets?
That's right, NZ. Central Park Media has lowered their prices on their Slayers. And it's pretty good. Their prices have dropped to $50, more or less, for the holiday season.
Ah, yes, but the price drop that they made for the holiday season has now become a permanent price drop for Slayer's Next Try and the Originals. So I recommend people pick those up, man. I mean, like, it's like crazy. All the good anime that I, you know, really liked from my earlier years of watching anime is all on crazy sale in their box sets. $50 for the Slayers, $50 for Sailor Moon. Even Escaflowne, including the movie, is $70, and I think that includes, like, a little action figure, too.
So, this is a great time to get anime if you're just starting into it.
Yeah, yeah, that ain't no joke. And speaking of anime that Americans are into, here's some information about the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie in Japan. Apparently, TV Tokyo has announced that Yu-Gi-Oh! The Movie, which was originally created for and released in North America, will air on January 2nd at 8 a.m. Well, it must be a real commander of ratings for them to air it at 8 a.m. Meanwhile, the Richmond... Oh, I guess kids would be awake then, but... meanwhile, the Richmond Times-Dispatch placed the movie at the top... that's pretty good, placed at the top of its list. Oh, at the top of its worst movies of 2004 list.
Ooh, that's too bad.
That's pretty awful. Alright, well, DB3, how about you handle this one, since it was a rather bittersweet thing that we found about this news just now.
The Action Channel had a New Year's Eve anime marathon, starting with Ghost in the Shell at 10 p.m. On December 31st, the Starz Action Channel had 12 hours of anime.
And that's a lot of anime.
The entire schedule included X, Perfect Blue, Vampire Hunter D, Blood, The Last Vampire, Pat Labor 2, and New Dominion Tank Police. And unfortunately, we didn't know about it, but almost fortunately, we didn't know about it.
Yeah, out of that lineup, I think I've said enough about Ghost in the Shell in the past, but I don't like X. Perfect Blue, I've heard some good things about. A Vampire Hunter D, if that's the original one, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The second one, it's alright. Blood, The Last Vampire just looks awful to me. Pat Labor 2 was boring. And New Dominion Take Police, I mean, it was interesting, but it definitely an early 90s, late 80s sort of anime.
Yeah.
Alright, but some good news for those friends of ours living in Georgia, because we've got a new anime and gaming con that's starting up in Atlanta. Anime Otaku, the anime club of Georgia Tech, has announced MoboCon, an anime and gaming con to be held in Atlanta, Georgia on March 26th and 27th. And, you know, I wish all the best success to these people. But the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about is it's an anime and gaming convention. Usually when you're starting off a con, you want to keep it pretty focused. And you got to decide whether to do it both, you know, anime only or video game only and not both. Because if it's having video games and anime, the anime is going to be overshadowed by video games. Because that happens almost every time from what I've seen myself. The con gets decently sized, then you should start expanding if you feel necessary, but otherwise, it just shouldn't be done. I have to take this next one, DB3.
The 50-foot-tall mecha float on parade. JPL and Caltech University have created a 50-foot-tall mecha-type float for the annual New Year's Day Rose Parade in Pasadena, California. Did you see the float?
I haven't seen the actual float myself, but I do know that unfortunately it is not a large metal thing. You see, it's actually made of a wireframe with a motor and a couple of moving parts. It's an automaton, more or less. It's shaped and moves like a human. But it's made like a traditional float. Its exterior is made with wires and flowers. Now, obviously, JPL hasn't been paying enough attention to the key element to any mech, Gundanium. Sadly, though, very expensive, hard to mine, because you can only mine it out using Gundanium. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
If it's the one I'm thinking it was in the Rose Parade, it looks pretty good.
Did you see the Rose Parade?
I watched some of the Rose Parade, and I did catch this float. It did look pretty good. I'll give them two thumbs up.
Yes, for both technical merit and for aesthetic pleasingness with the flowers.
Yeah.
Now, answer me this, DV3. Was it at least Secura Blossom?
Yes. No, it wasn't.
What were the flowers? What colors were they?
I don't even remember. I just remember thinking at the time.
Yeah?
That looks like a cool mecha.
All right, well, let's see.
The float won the Crown City Innovation Award for best use of imagination and innovation to advance the art of float design.
That's pretty kind of cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool, you know. The mecha wins! All right, well, speaking of mecha, Beckett is going to be publishing a new magazine. Some of you may remember them from Beckett Pokemon Collector Magazine, which then transmogrified into Beckett Anime Collector, which is more or less the same thing, but with a little more serious in it. Now they've announced a new one called Beckett Spotlight Anime for Girls, which apparently is going to be targeting 12 to 20-year-old women. And kind of funny thing here, I've been listening to some of the fan reaction to this. The magazine is actually a one-shot thing that Beckett's doing, and if it sells well, they might expand it into an actual monthly magazine like their current one. Here's the thing, though, is from what I've been hearing, number one, this one-shot, $10.
Wow.
Yeah, not very high-quality paper or ink or anything, but it's $10. And from what I've heard of people that have actually seen it, really stupid articles, like things that... It's like the actual staff that's writing this magazine, there's not a single woman on the staff.
What?
Yeah, and so it's got stupid things like top 10 Hollywood hunks that would play anime characters if these shows were turned into movies.
Really?
Yeah, and it's got other dumb crap like that. I mean, it's completely not what female anime fans want, you know? It's just crazy. And so I don't think that Beckett's going to sell very much of this at all.
Maybe people will go out just to buy it because it'll become a collector's item.
Yeah, that's possible, but I suppose Beckett's going for the same thing it went with its anime collector magazine. And, you know, originally, like I said, it was Pokemon Collector, right?
Yeah.
And the whole point was just to mass produce something cheaply, and that way they don't really lose, they don't spend much money per issue, so they can afford to go and not sell a lot of issues. It's rather cheap for them to produce because the content isn't really that high. So I think in the end, this magazine is going to be the same thing. Is it's just cheaply put together, but since it didn't cost them much to produce, they're not out of anything by going and making it this way, you know? Okay, well, this next one is pretty interesting, and I want to make lots of comments about it along the way. So, DB3, how about you take the role of narrator, and I'll take the role of snide commentator?
SEC ignores Doraemon complaints. On behalf of Fujiko Pro, Shogakukan Productions sent a written complaint to the SEC on November 28th regarding its use of mascot that looks very similar to Doraemon. The complaint included excerpts of Doraemon products in order to show the similarity. Now, over a month since the complaint was set, the SEC has not responded to Shogakukan,
you said it right the first time.
Yeah, advances, and the infringing character remains on the SEC's Kids Zone website.
Now, see, I find this particularly ironic that the FCC is always helping to combat piracy and helping to go and protect the rights of copyright holders, and then when they hire some artist to go and do them up a mascot and it looks more or less stunningly like Doraemon, no, ain't gonna do nothing about it. You know, we're the mighty FCC of the United States of America, and we're going to show you who's who. You know, I mean, we paid for somebody to draw this. We're not going to take it down. I mean, you know, granted, ASO Radio doesn't have to worry about the FCC since we fall outside of their jurisdiction since ASO Radio isn't broadcast in a digital or analog signal over the airwaves until, of course, somebody goes and actually plays it on their computer, which, you know, audio that's passed that way doesn't really count. So we can freely talk about the FCC, but even if I was on a regular radio station, I would still be kind of outraged about this because it's just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I hope that their silence does not continue and they actually say something about this. So.
Maybe I think they will, because as many people that have said something about it, they're not going to be able to ignore it forever.
Yeah, that's true. Especially since the FCC is a rather public branch of the United States, you know. I mean,
yeah.
There's some other departments that most people never heard of, but the FCC, that's a pretty well-known one. All right, well, do you want to take this last one, DB3, or should I take this last one?
Go for it,
DB. Choice is yours. According to BookScan, which tracks book sales at bookstores, but not comic book and specialty shops, boy, that's a bit of a tongue twister with all that book in there, the top-selling graphic novels of 2004 were Viz's Rurouni Kenshin No. 1 and Tokyopop's Fruit Basket. Yay! The top-earning manga release of 2004 was Dark Horse's Trigun No. 2, which sold less copies than Fruits Basket or Rurouni Kenshin, but sold at the higher price point of $14.95.
Oh.
Yeah, so it sounds like manga readers are very discerning because, you know, we've got Rurouni Kenshin, which it's not quite my cup of tea, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
Fruits Basket, which both of us rather like, and Trigun, which is pretty good too, so obviously... our fellow manga readers have good taste because if you think about it, the only show, two out of three of these were on TV. I'm not even sure if Rurouni Kenshin and Trigun are still on. Maybe they are, but just at really odd time.
Rurouni Kenshin still is.
But obviously these people have taste, especially since they're reading Fruits Basket, and, you know, I don't want to self-indulge here, but they're reading Fruits Basket, and that's never been on television. So that speaks about the sheer quality of it. That didn't even come out until later in the year. I mean, it wasn't even out before, like, August or anything. It came out during the fall or winter.
Really?
And so this is very impressive that, you know, in that sort of a time span, it sold so much. Anyways, all of our news comes courtesy of the Anime News Network, who we greatly appreciate for doing all the difficult work for us.
Thanks, Anime News Network.
And so visit them on the web at www.animenewsnetwork.com. And, you know, they provide the news, but we provide the scathing sarcasm. So, anyways, it's time for our trio of anime reviews.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Alright, well, we're going to do it in this order for the reviews. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to give our rating.
How original.
Oh, yeah, I meant to say, we're going to go and do Metal Fighters Miku first, then we're going to do Dragon Half, and then we're going to do Super Gals.
So you better hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen.
As a matter of fact, ADV did both Super Gals and Dragon Half. Metal Fighters Miku is the only one put out by Anime Works, and the funny thing is, that's our highest recommendation for this week. So,
wow.
I don't know, maybe just ADV's going for quantity over quality, or maybe we just had a funky selection.
Maybe it was the funky selection.
Yeah, maybe it was. But anyways, DB3, since you've seen Metal Fighters Miku more recently than I have, how about you go ahead and give us a breakdown of this two-disc DVD set, which I got for a very affordable price since I bought it used from a business that's out of business now. So regardless of that fact, go ahead and break it down for us.
All right, Metal Fighters Miku is about a group of girls, neo-pro wrestlers, who get put into a tournament to figure out who the best neo wrestler is in all of Japan. Miku, who is the newest member of the group, is also the best wrestler. And the show basically goes how she trains to get better with the rest of them, and they go to different matches as the tournament goes on.
Yeah, let me interrupt there real quick. A couple of notes. Number one, Miku, unlike her... companions in her group, she's in it to become a strong fighter. But the group was actually formed to take advantage of the popularity of Neo Japan Pro Wrestling in order to go and have them do things like make music CDs and do photo ops and things like that. And the group actually didn't come along of their own accord. They weren't friends before this or anything. They were put together by their manager in order to create a pop group, hopefully that would make it big and he'd make lots of money off of it. So all of their fights up until this point had been managed and staged in order to go and have it so that they would always win and look good and whatnot. And then one of these fixed matches was then interrupted by a challenger from the new fighting association, I forget what it's called, like GPL or something, I don't know. They were gone and interrupted by the real fighters who went and beat them all down and then challenged them on their honor to go and be in this tournament. Before that, their manager, who had known about this and was approached, wasn't going to enter them, but since it became public now, he was more or less forced to in order to uphold their reputation.
They get a trainer whose name is Ichi, who's more or less a drunk throughout the whole thing. But he actually trains them really well, and they come to find out that he was the trainer of the best of the neo-pro wrestlers, Aquamarine. And there's a side story between those two. They used to be lovers, and she left him. And, yeah, that's...
Don't want to give out too much more. I mean, there's lots of action in this, but there's... it's not heavy on the story, but the story keeps you still enthralled.
Yeah.
I really like the animation. I don't know, there's just something about early 90s anime, early to mid-90s, that I really like, because it was like, the OAV industry was still somewhat strong at this point. There was a lot of high-quality anime coming out, and it was still hand-animated. Once it got past the mid-90s, most of it started to be computer-aided.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of lost a lot of, I don't know, its appeal. It just doesn't look as artistic to me, you know.
One of the things you mentioned to me the first time I watched it was how they had normal hair until they put on their metal fighting suit, and then that's when it changed. And I was watching, and I started thinking, that is right. I like that, how they do it like that.
Yeah, you know.
More like... realistic.
Yeah, in a lot of anime and manga, the character, well, manga's in black and white, but I'm talking about the covers of manga. The characters are given bright, vibrant colors for their hair, which more or less, you know, say their personality, like, oh, she's a redhead, she's really emotional. Oh, she has blue or purple hair, she's like, you know, stuck up or rich or whatever. Oh, she has pink hair, she's supposed to be a cute one. You know, this hair color coding crap. But in Metal Fighters Miku, though they have that going on with the color of their fighters' hairs, they have normal hair colors when they're not transformed in their metal fighting suits. And so I kind of like that because it makes it seem a little more realistic. I mean, the show's, you know, not super highly realistic, but the characters themselves are pretty believable, even though they mainly just fall into stereotypes. You know, you've got the tough girl, you've got the one that wants to achieve, you've got the cute girl, and you've got the beautiful girl, you know.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, I did like how they had normal until they changed into their suits because the suits made them stronger or whatnot. It was just kind of cool.
Yeah. And there are times when, like, you felt for the characters. There was a time when Miku had a boyfriend and it was conflicting with the wrestling. There was a time when one of them had an offer to go to America and wrestle. Just, they had some plot to it sometimes.
Yeah, like I said, it's more about the action than it is about the plot, but the plot definitely keeps you tuned in. I really like the music to this show.
I did too.
I don't know what exactly it is, but it's very catchy. I like the closing theme and the opening. A lot of anime that I've seen recently, either the opening will have good music, but the animation that goes with it's kind of lame. Or the other way around, it'll have lame music, but the animation's cool. And this applies for both closing and opening themes. But in this, the music perfectly matched both the opening and the closing, and both of the songs were great, not to mention the in-show music.
Something else that happens is sometimes the opening's really good, and the closing is bad.
Yeah.
It didn't happen in this as much.
Yeah, it's a very good series. Like I said, very good deal from Media Blasters, Anime Works. This set, I think, retails for something like $40 brand new, which is like $20 a disc. But if you consider it's a 13-episode series, so one disc has 6 and the other has 7, going on that merit alone, it's a worthy purchase.
Yeah.
And, you know, all in all, I have to say that this show, I'm going to have to give it a highly recommend because I just really like it. It's just, you know, I suppose some people may not like it if they like the more fluid animation of more recent releases. But to me, it looks really flat, the more modern stuff. This just had a lot of spirit and soul behind it, in my opinion.
NZNZ. What are we going to do with you? You give it a highly rate. That was my rating I was going to give it.
Well, what can I say? We've got this whole bag full of recommendations here we just pulled them out of. So, you know, I'm sure there's a couple more highly recommended. Go ahead and reach in there.
I pull out. Oh, whew. I got a highly recommended.
Oh, see? So it worked out in the end. So two highly recommended for Metal Fighters Biku. Next up, we're going to review Dragon Half. And since more or less you covered Metal Fighters Miku, I'll go ahead and cover Dragon Half. This show is more or less about a girl named Mink, whose father was a dragon slayer and her mother was a dragon. The two were engaged in mortal combat and then they fell deeply in love. As the, you know, emotions were running high and they just couldn't help how they felt. So then the king is rather upset about this because he wanted to go and marry the red dragon, which is why he sent the dragon slayer after her, just to bring her back so he could, yes. So he goes and he sends out a couple of guys to go and kill her. And
the daughter.
Yeah, the daughter. Because he figured if he killed originally...
It was to kill the husband,
the dragon slayer. So that hopefully the mother would marry him, and then the guy's like, well, just because her husband's dead doesn't mean that, you know, she'll want to marry you. And so then the king unleashed his anger upon the guy.
Yeah.
And then he decided for some reason, like, if they go and they kill the daughter, then, I don't know, the husband would come after them, and then he...
I think at first they just wanted to capture him, and then...
Yeah, that's right. They were going to capture the daughter to get her hand or some crap like that. I don't know. It was a really crazy show. But then she, like, killed a couple of his guys, and so then he wanted to kill her back or something like that. And that's more or less the first episode. And then the second episode...
Oh, you can't forget about the singer.
Well, yeah, I was getting to that. Okay. The second episode involves the pop idol that Mink and all the other girls have a crush on, and she doesn't want to fight on. And it's kind of funny because Dragon Half, the voice of Mink, and the style of Mink's devotion to the singer remind me a lot of the voice style of Excel from Excel Saga and her devotion to the leader of the local branch of... trying to take over F City named Il Palazzo. You know, it very much reminded me of Excel and the Across leaders' relationship. So I thought that was kind of funny. Kind of paralleled Excel Saga. So I wonder if the people that made Excel Saga saw Dragon Half when it came out in '92 and were like, "Man, we've got to make a modern version of that." But we'll just you know, there's this popular manga. We'll just make it like that. You know, but. But all in all, it was a fun little show. A bit too chaotic, though, and it just ended abruptly. It was an OAV, and, like, the first episode was really long, and then the second one was short.
Yeah.
And it was cool, but it was just kind of like they need one more episode to wrap it up. But as the case is with a lot of OAVs from Japan, especially during the crowded OAV market of the time period it came out, there just was simply too much in the market, and it just didn't have the staying power to go and have them sell enough of the first two to go and fund a third, unfortunately.
The sadness.
Yeah, so though the ending of the second episode kind of made it like you really wanted this, because, like, you know, kind of cool ending. So the animation, not nearly as nice as Metal Fighters Miku.
Definitely
which
not.
Is surprising for an OAV, but this, of course, was a cheaper OAV.
Yeah.
I did like the character designs, though. I thought they did pretty good with that. And the first episode, it was kind of cool because it kept changing from regular to super deformed to super, super deformed, you know. And it was just changing the different amount of chibiness with the characters as they were going along. So, you know, that was kind of cool, though it could be distracting to some.
Yeah.
And there were some genuinely funny moments, but... Then episode 1 kind of dragged out for a bit, and then episode 2 there wasn't much room for a lot of comedy, really, because it was just really
so short.
Yeah. Is there much you'd like to add about this, DB3? You know, any comments you'd like to make before we dish out the reviews?
No, not really. You covered it pretty well.
How about you talk about the music real quick?
Well, if you like Beethoven, the closing song is great. It goes on and on and on.
I know, that's like a 5-minute credit roll, man.
For the second, I think it was almost as long as the whole episode.
Yeah. Well, not quite, but it seemed kind of long. And it didn't even seem the show had an opening song.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, so that was kind of disappointing. But if the closing song was any indication, and the closing song, it wasn't just Beethoven, it had some lyrics to it, but the lyrics were like some crazy crap about an omelet.
Yeah.
I mean, half of it was just gobbledy blah, 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 she was saying, and not even words. So that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So all in all, I heard some really good things about this, and then upon seeing it, I haven't really like super built up my expectations, so it wasn't a major letdown. It was more or less like I expected it to be, there were some genuine laugh-out-loud moments.
There were.
But just sometimes it just dragged on too long. So I'm going to give this one a recommended for the rating.
You did it again!
Oops, I did it again. My bad. You go, DB3.
Well, folks, once again, NZ's taking my recommendation.
Well, you know, DB3, just because I pulled the lever on the slot machine and I got three recommendeds that popped up doesn't mean you will. How about you go ahead and pull the lever?
All right. Kerchief! Sweet! One, two, I got all three! I can give this a recommended too.
Yeah, see, so it all works out well, you know. We here at ASA Radio use very scientific methods for dishing out our ratings. And speaking of our rating system, we have one more review to do before we wrap up this segment for this episode.
Yay.
This review is of Supergirl, which is, I guess I need to give a bit of a back Japanese cultural history lesson here. Gals, as they're called in this show, is actually a bit of a underground subculture phenomenon in Japan. Basically, gals are, well, you saw some of this, DB3. They're girls that like to be very outrageous in their behavior and looks and whatnot by Japanese standards. Some of them get very dark tans, typically wear a lot of makeup. And in the case of the main character, Ran, can have a pretty bad attitude, violent, kind of a delinquent, if you will. But being a gal, it's pretty popular subculture on there. A lot of love hotels have a lot of guys going in there with gals, you know, done up with the really bad. You see, in my opinion, it just looks awful, this horribly dark tan and this makeup and whatnot. I understand they're trying to be rebellious and stick out and whatnot, but I just think it looks bad. But, you know. And so, anyways, this is more or less about a gal and the gal culture in Shibuya, and how it's all these dynamics working among her against those that want to basically take over her territory and whatnot. The main character's name is Ran, and she has two friends that are her companions throughout this series. She has Miyu, who has a major crush on her boyfriend, her brother, sorry, yes, mixing terms here, has a major crush on her brother, who is a police officer at the Shibuya Police Box, which is like a miniature local police branch. Those of you who have seen Love Hina's Christmas movie will recognize the, you know, local police box branch thing from when Motoko got in trouble. Regardless of that fact, though, has a major crush on him, and also her friend Aya, who is a shy girl that's always striving to get her best grades. She's her family is very strict, though, and she's not very smart, so she has to dedicate a lot of time to studying. And in her spare time, she's going out on supplemental dates, as they're called, in order to go and earn money for her to use for fun in her spare time, since her parents don't really give her any allowance or really allow her a lot of free time. But the supplemental dates, more or less, it's young girls going out with middle-aged men for money. They're basically being paid to go out on these dates. And basically in the first episode, Ran gets her out of that lot. It's more or less establishing the characters, like her tanned rivals that don't want to mess with her because Ran's so violent and whatnot, and then, you know, her other friends and her brother. The second episode introduces her parents. She comes from a family with a long line of police. Her mom is a police officer, her brother is, her dad's like chief of police, and his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather had all been police people, and so they want Ran to be that too, but she doesn't want to follow in their footsteps, you know, in a path already paved for her, she says. But the thing about that, though, is that Ran actually has a very her heart cannot stand injustice. Where she sees injustice, she has to go and correct this, even though she has, you know, the bad attitude and clothes of a gal going and creating mischief and doing her own thing. That's just for fun, but when people are actually getting hurt and taken advantage of and whatnot, you know, the blood of her family comes to the surface, and she basically kicks their ass and tells them they better not mess with their friend or better change their vile ways. And more or less, that's what every episode is. It's basically there's some sort of injustice, and she goes and she rights wrongs and triumphs over evil. Oh, wait, wrong anime. anyway, so Ran's kind of rebellious. She's got a red streak in her hair. She's got her hair dyed red already, but the red streak is actually the color red, not, you know, red hair red, because she doesn't want any guys, you know, hounding after her, even though she would like to have a boy. You know, it's just, it seems like she's always trying to have fun, and she doesn't want to get all these superficial guys that want to be with her because she's a bad girl, or, you know, just because, you know, she wants somebody special, somebody real, somebody that can understand her, and how even though she's a bad girl on the outside, she's got a heart of gold and a strong sense of justice on the inside, that she's a real person, not just merely a stereotype following after the typical gals, but one that chooses and picks the styles and fashions she likes and lives her way, her life the way she wants. Somebody just like the guy. Yeah, that's right, the guy in the show.
Hopefully she doesn't say that every episode.
Yeah, we'll see. there's actually two guys in the first episode that are also introduced. They're street racers. And I believe they're street racers. They're racers of some sort. I forget which. And the number one guy, he's got this really bad sarcasm attitude thing going on, even though he's a nice guy underneath. He's kind of cold to the other characters. And his friend, who usually comes in second place on the races and whatnot, he has this major crush on Ran, but she's completely oblivious to it, which I find is both funny and tragic at the same time. If you can kind of imagine, it's kind of like Ramna One Half, in which Ryoga has this eternal crush on Akane, but unlike Ramna One Half, where Ryoga can never bring himself to tell Akane this, instead, Ran is just so caught up in her own world and achieving her own goals and having fun that she never realizes the poor guy's situation, even though he keeps asking her out on dates and what she likes to do for fun and things like that. So you gotta kind of feel for this guy who she doesn't even recall his name. She just keeps calling him second place, you know. So it's rather funny all in all in that situation. DB3, give us some your impersonations of both the music and the animation.
The animation is pretty unique. It was fluid. When I first started watching, I was like, this reminds me of my little sister's Saturday morning cartoon. But it was pretty good. Like, I can't make too much fun of it because it was good. The music was alright. I don't know.
I thought that the opening theme was pretty catchy. The closing theme, I think, is just bad. And the music during the show, it works, but it's not anything you really remember.
That's why I couldn't remember it.
Yeah, there you go. The animation of the show is actually, it's definitely a shoujo title, you know, definitely made for girls. And it just has that look, you know, that it's made for, you know,
yeah,
teenage girls. Not that it's a bad look. I really like the look myself. But, you know, don't expect any, like, major fan service in this or anything, you know. I mean, the girls are purposely drawn very slight with very few, I guess you could say, physical features, if you will, and, large heads, because that's just, you know, it's a very acceptable, non-intimidating, non-competitive drawing style, you know, for women. And personally, I think it's just dang adorable. But, you know, anyways, this show, I really wanted to give this a highly recommended before I change, because I just really like the opening theme, I like the animation, saw a preview for it. Whoever did the preview for ADV for this should, like, get a raise, because it had an awesome preview, really made me want to go and see the show.
Oh, really?
But then after seeing it, the animation, you know, stood the test, and the opening song was cool, but the rest of the music wasn't really that great, and, you know, it's more or less a standard, I can't remember the term off the top of my head at the moment, but it's one of those shows where it's just, you know, the same thing over and over in each episode. You know, it's like Rand's trying
monotonous.
No, not monotonous. There's a term for it where it's just reiterates the same thing every episode, a Japanese term, because a lot of shows are like that, where there's no real progress. It's like serialized, kind of like Seinfeld, but where Seinfeld builds... I mean, it's basically in Seinfeld, each episode, more or less nothing happens. They just talk about some crap, you know. And this show's kind of the same thing, but instead of talking about crap, it's Rand going around with friends, having fun, spots some sort of, you know, sneaky, underhanded, or illegal thing going on, and then she, you know, goes and, you know...
Puts a stop to it.
Yeah, basically beats him up, puts a stop to it, tells them why they were wrong, gives a bit of a speech, then she feels like a dumbass for saying such a cheesy speech, and then more or less then there's the happy closing thing with her friends like the next day or later on or whatever. So I'm going to have to give this show a recommended. Really wanted to give it a highly recommend, but after just seeing it, it's like it's more style over substance. DB3, your thoughts on this show from the brief amount you got to see?
The brief amount I got to see, I'd have to go recommended. I mean, it wasn't something that I'd always remember, and it wasn't horrible. It was just recommended.
Well, next week, we're going to be having a very interesting review for all of our listeners. Actually, the review itself might not be that interesting, but certainly the anime is. For next week, we will be reviewing the first volume of Vision of Escaflowne. Now, is that sweet or is that sweet?
That is sweet.
Indeed it is. So, anyways, I think it's about time that we go ahead and do ourselves up some fan mail, DB3.
Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail. Fan mail!
Okay, well, I talked way too much last segment, in my opinion. So how about you go ahead and take this first email, DB3?
This first one is from Warp Shadow. Notes on episode 61. In answer to this week's question, my favorite licensing company would have to be Media Blasters. The license... They license shows I like, and they're generous with the episode count.
Ah, yes, very good reasons to go and like Media Blasters. I like their work. They're actually owned by another company, I believe, but generally the shows they're released under. See, a lot of anime companies today are, anime companies that were around in the, mid-80s to the mid-90s, where generally they've all been snatched up by the larger anime companies, but they kept the names to go and release that company's style of anime under their name. Kind of like how the Walt Disney Corporation owns Miramax, for example. They release their Miyazaki pictures usually under the Miramax label. Media Blasters, they're a pretty good company. I like what they do.
And number two, about the Ramna OAVs. The way to get them now is on a DVD compilation of all 12 episodes. Unfortunately, it runs you about $120.
Yes, well, I'm very glad that I got these tapes, these VHS tapes, for a Christmas present, right when ADV was actually, I don't know, I've had these about 3 years or so now, I guess. But thankfully, they were only about $30 or $40 or something at the time.
Wow.
Maybe they were $6. I don't know. I can't remember the price when I got them because I can't remember when I got them. I think it wasn't Christmas of 2003, so it was either Christmas of 2001 or 2002.
Were we still in school?
I don't know. I can't really say. I think it was 2002, though. But either way, it was definitely a lot less than $120. And quite frankly, from our reviews, I don't think it would be worth $120.
Yeah.
I'd say most you should really pay for this. I guess on DVD you get both languages, so I'd say at most you should pay $80.
I could go with that on DVD.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was either $40 to $60 that I got the VHS tapes for, but I didn't pay for it, I got it for Christmas, but that was the going price. I'd say that's a lot better price for these OAVs. They weren't anything special. Really, I'd recommend people just buy the Ramna television series, as that's a lot better in most cases. Some of the Ramna OAV episodes, they were good, but they were either too emotional or they tried to be funny, but they weren't in most cases. All right, well, this next fan mail is from...
Maybe we should save this for next week.
I'm thinking I'm thinking that I know who this person is, but I'm not going to go and say who they are, at least on the air. But anyways, from Cupid Targeted Fool comes a fan mail for ASO Radio. And people, I'd just like to note here real quick, on the script that I have set up to go and send us fan mail on the website, there's this nice little page for doing it. It automatically appends to the beginning of the subject, ASO fan mail, ASO Radio fan mail. So your subject needs to kind of tell us what the fan mail is about. Like, for example, Warp Shadow fan mail was about Media Blasters and the Romna OAVs. So the subject he could have put in could have been like Romna OAVs and my favorite company, or like Media Blasters and Romna, or something like
or
that.
Or notes on episode 61 notes.
Yeah, see, that could have been the title. And so, if he, like, we'll take DB3's instance here, if he'd used that as the subject, then when it got sent to us, it would say, ASO fan mail, notes on episode 61. Same case with this next one, the subject that the person wrote in was fan mail. Something more about, like,
audience?
Audience.
The audience.
The audience, or, you know, something like that would have worked. But anyways, Cupid Targeted Fool writes, "Hey guys, I was wondering if the audience is dating anyone, because she sounds like my type of woman. Love from Cupid Targeted Fool." How about you approach this one, DB3? Because I don't know how, I don't think I should touch this with 10
That's why I was wondering if we should save it for next week.
I think we'll reread it this week, but,
reread it next week?
Yes, reread it next week, or at least we'll reread it once we can actually get the audience back on the air.
So, Cupid Targeted Fool? We'll get you your answer when she's here.
Yeah, yeah. But in the meantime, DB3, go ahead and illustrate for us why, what exactly sort of zaniness somebody that would be with the audience would experience.
I don't even think I want to go there.
And we don't want her to go and get outraged on ours.
Yeah, I think we could just...
This is a touch of fan mail. I think we'll go ahead and approach this once she's back so we can get her personal response. That's part of the reason I was so disappointed that she didn't get to go and be on the show, because, you know. Anyways, that does it for our fan mail.
Hey,
for,
Pico 6 never got any fan mail like this, did she?
No, she never got fan mail like this, but, that's a good point. I mean, she was on, like, 2 episodes, I believe. Never got any fan mail like this, but, I don't know. Just maybe we have a different audience than we did
back
in the day, you know. I mean, we have a couple of guys from the previous seasons that listened back then, but most of our current listening audience, I think, are just new people.
That's true.
But regardless, we'll definitely be sure to have
this brought back up.
Yeah, the audience will answer this next time she's available, and I don't think we'll be talking to Kiko 6 anytime soon, since she's busy serving the United States Armed Forces. But next time we see her, hopefully we can get her on the show, you know, if she ever gets out of the military. She seems to be liking it quite a bit. As a matter of fact, we've got a little time, so I'll do a bit of an update. She was actually, she's with the Marines, and she was going and helping establish stability and order over in Iraq. She was actually in Baghdad. Then our local troop returned home to say to their loved ones and whatnot. But Kiko 6 actually hadn't, she had finished her obligation of 4 years. But she actually loves military life. And so she wasn't getting out. She's actually going to stay there for at least another 4 years. So I imagine she's liking the military lifestyle quite a bit.
Yeah.
So anyways, since this is the last episode for this season, I think we need to go and have a good fan mail subject for next week, because... Well, right now, like I said in previous episodes, we're more or less building back up our fan base, you know, getting lots of new listeners. I have several plans in the works for that, by the way. And it's not just going and updating bits of the pages on the ASO Radio website. This is actually some pretty good planage that I've been doing. So anyways, it seems that since we have a small but loyal listening audience at the moment, We've been getting a decent stream of fan mail. But the problem is that they're so small that most people, you know, they just listen to the show, they're cool with what we say, don't really have any complaints or criticisms or compliments or anything, which kind of makes me sad on the compliment part, but, you know, you can only say good job so much, you know. See, what people need to do is they need to send in constructive criticism, right? Like say, okay, you did really good on this segment, I agreed with a lot of your opinions on this review, but you got such and such wrong, you know. And next time, in order to avoid this, you should do such and such. But until we get a large critical mass so that we regularly get fan mail coming in without us having to do prompt, beg, I should say, for more, I think we should continue to do our fan mail themes of the week, you know, the subject of the week or whatever we used to call it.
Yeah.
And so for season 6, in other words, episode 66, wait a minute, season 6, episode 66. Oh my goodness, we are the devil's advocate! That's actually a pretty funny coincidence there. Anyways, for next week's episode, I want you to write in about all the subliminal satanic messages that are on ASO radio episodes. And if you can't do that, then write in about what you think, what you're looking forward to.
The Devil's Gate.
What you're looking... Lucifer. What you're looking forward to in the next season of ASO Radio and possibly beyond. So, yes, write in the fan mail about what you'd like to see in the next season and what you'd like to see in the future of ASO Radio. I think that's a pretty good subject.
Yeah, it sounds like a great subject. It'll help us out a lot.
The devil is your master. So anyway, I think it's time we better get on to the hot spot. Satan likes the warm.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
All right, well, for this week's hot spot, I'm going to be going and reviewing the very nice soundtrack to Fruits Basket. This is actually the first of two that's going to be released over here in North America. The first one is called Fruits Basket Memory for You. It has some very nice cover art with the four main characters in a nice little wooden frame. Then on the back, it's got the songs listed sideways, kind of like you'd expect, I don't know, a Japanese CD to be, not, you know, that they're usually like that. But I like the color scheme of tan and brown. It's very nice. Also, on the front of the cover, it's kind of cool where the hinges attached to the case, you know, there's that little square rectangular part,
that's,
you know,
usually black.
The spine, yeah, usually black, sometimes it's clear, and on it, it actually has the symbols for each of the main characters. It's got the cat, the rice ball, the rat, and the dog. And what's even cooler is the CD for this actually has those symbols right on it too, even though they're a bit harder to go and see on that because the CD has this yellowish cream color, and so it initially looks just like four little white circles or shapes, but it's actually them on there too. So very nice little subtle work on this. It has some pretty nice art, which is from the anime. It's actually using, it almost looks like, they tried to make it look like the cells that they used to use in anime when they hand animated, but of course Fruits Basket was digitally animated, so. But they did a really nice job on making that seem like it's an animation frame.
Yeah.
Then inside the booklet, it has liner notes in there, not linear notes, as I used to call them. Kind of felt like a dumbass now. They actually translated the two composers talking about what it was like to work on Fruits Basket. I guess initially neither of them had been reading the manga, and then they were assigned to go and work on the anime, and so their director told them, you know, go and read all of the manga so you can get a feel for the characters and what the music should be like. And I think having them did that really helped the show. Instead of just going and composing music to the anime, they read the manga to understand the characters, and I think that worked out really well for them. Then, outside of translating that, the booklet also contains translated lyrics. They're the same as what, what are they called? Not 4Kids. Funimation. The same as the lyrics Funimation dubbed the opening and closing songs. And, what else was there? Oh, yeah. And then, like, the last page, there's images scattered throughout, and then the last page goes and covers the handling and care of the CD. I thought that was kind of cool, you know, completely unnecessary. Most people know that, but I thought, you know, that's just kind of neat that, you know, they filled out the CD by going and doing that. But that tells you nothing about the actual content of the album, which all these niceties just go to enhance the experience, but the actual music is what matters. This actually has 28 different tracks on it because it's the music for the series, and as a result, you might think at first, wow, that's a lot of music, but the actual running time is only 45 minutes, 15 seconds. So before I go ahead and talk about the music, how about I go ahead and let you all have a brief listening to our ASO Radio CD sampler for Fruit Basket Memory for You. So, as I'm sure many of you have seen Fruits Basket, I was listening back through just those samples, and it made me think to myself, I must watch it again! Why? Oh, that which is all great and magnificent, why cannot there be a third season?
Or for you who haven't seen it, you can listen to those things and think the same things.
Yeah, because, you know, it's some good music, regardless. Yeah. And as you can hear, there's a wide variety of tracks in there. Even though that brief sampler made me want to watch the show, listening to the soundtrack itself, I would often get feelings evoking a strong desire to watch it, like during that sampler. But also, I'd listen to the music, and the music ties in very strongly to the emotion of the show. And so I'd hear a piece, and I'd remember a scene or a character, and I would laugh, or I would feel sad, or whatever, re-remembering the scenes and times with that character. So this soundtrack obviously has a lot more meaning to somebody that's listened to it before, and that'll probably affect my rating a bit. But now I'm going to try and be a bit objective here with my rating of it. There's a lot of variety to the tracks, but most of the tracks are under a minute in length, so generally the individual tracks are kind of short, but that can be expected with the soundtrack to a television show. The songs and whatnot, they're quite different. Several of them are remixes of existing themes. And because it's the soundtrack of an anime show, which often changes its place, but sometimes there's sad moments, emotional moments, slow moments, but then there's also wacky, zany comedy, fast-moving moments, fighting, martial arts, stuff like that. So it covers a wide gamut, but the thing is that because the soundtrack covers a wide gamut, I can't exactly recommend it for easy, casual listening, because you'll be, you know, relaxing to this or that, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, it'll be like some or, you know, like some crazy music or whatever. The opening and closing themes are very nice on here. You know, the original Japanese ones, of course, since this CD, basically they translated the booklet. But I do really like the dub that Funimation did. I hope the second CD contains the English dub, though I know, unfortunately, that it won't. But that still would be very cool in this humble otaku's opinion. Regardless of that fact, though, the soundtrack makes for good background listening. Like myself, I like to program, but for those people that aren't into computers, if you're reading a book or you're busy doing, I don't know, taxes or writing or, you know, doing whatever that requires attention, but you don't like going and sitting in a quiet room while doing it, this makes some pretty good background music for it. Although, if you've seen the show, some of the tracks might get you thinking more about the anime than at the task at hand. But I found it to be very good for when I was working on the Acer Radio website. So it makes good background music, but like I said, some of the tracks aren't kind of, I don't know how to put this exactly. The tracks go and they flow in a smooth order, and then all of a sudden they'll throw in some, you know, different emotion, and so it doesn't really casually flow from, you know, feeling to feeling. But then again, that's kind of like the show is one moment they'll be all sad and sincere, and then Kyo will go and start fighting with Yuki, and, you know, so the I guess you could say the soundtrack reflects the show and vice versa. So if you've seen the show, this soundtrack has a lot more meaning. If you haven't seen the show, then it doesn't have quite as much meaning, but the music from the show is very enjoyable nonetheless. For those of you interested in the content of the second soundtrack that's going to be released here in America by Geneon, it'll have extended versions of the closing and opening themes, the Japanese ones, and it will also contain a couple of image songs, which are more or less songs to evoke emotion. I don't think there's any drama tracks on it, but I could be wrong about that. So the second CD sounds like, if you don't like the shortness of the tracks on this CD, you can buy the second one, which while it only has, we'll say, 10 tracks on it, 10 or 11 tracks, but each individual track, instead of being only like less than a minute, is like 3 to 5 minutes long. So it'll probably end up being about the same length. But enough about that. For Fruits Basket, Memory for You, the soundtrack to the show, I'm going to have to I don't know. I really want to give this a highly recommended because the show really came as a highly recommended. If you remember correctly, DB3, I was going to give this a top recommendation, except it can be a little too slow in some points.
Yeah.
And, of course, some other technical gripes. And so I'd like to give the same rating to this show, but, and here comes the reason why not, the tracks that stick out, that break the relaxed, slow-paced feeling of most of the rest of the track, they just go and they completely snap you out of whatever you were doing at the moment. So while the music is good, it doesn't have one harmonious feel to it. Which, I mean, some of the songs, like the rock song or whatever, they work, but those that are mainly composed of sound effects and what have you, it just doesn't flow right. And DB3, you yourself heard this during the brief sampling there. There's just some tracks that are mainly during comedic situations like misunderstandings or what have you, and while those work great in the show for casual listening, which is the way I'm generally rating these soundtracks, most of these soundtracks, basically, if it's an instrumental background music CD like this one is, I rate it as it should be. It's background music for when you're doing something because it's background music for the shows. Or if it's like mainly vocal tracks like the Love Hina soundtrack, I rate that as more of an active listening thing where you're actually listening to listen to the music, not as something so there will be noise in the background. So I'm going to have to go and give this a recommended. I like all of the tracks on here, to be honest. They're all very nice tracks. It's just, it feels a bit disjointed when all of a sudden you got some nice relaxed stuff, then you go to some, you know, wonky thing, and then you go back to nice relaxed tracks, and then there's a wonky thing.
And then you have the fighting thing.
Yeah. If it had been like, here's the nice relaxed tracks, then here's the awkward music, now here's like the fighting energy, high rock music, that would have worked out better in my opinion. But as it is, with the way that the tracks are ordered, it's going to go and earn this one a recommended. Well, I think we did a pretty good show for the final episode of Season 5 DB3. What's your thoughts?
Much better than last week.
Much better than last week, because I'm glad we could go out this year, well, not this year, but this season on a high note rather than a dark sheep of the family note.
Hopefully we don't have some listener for the first time listening to us, listen to last week's episode, and be like, these guys suck! Because last week we did suck!
Well, I don't know, DB3. You know, some people, they liked their sort of dark and twisted humor of last week, so hopefully people that like that did listen to last week's episode as their first episode.
True.
Although, in a sense, they kind of deceived themselves if they thought that that's what it was going to be like from now on, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a very good show, but, you know, I think that we've apologized enough for episode 64.
Yeah.
It's a dark sheep. We've just got to live with it. You know, we said sorry for those people that may have not liked it, and I think it's just time we've got to move on. Granted, it was one spectacular bomb of an episode, but I think that we've paid our dues.
Every show has at least one episode people are like, did I just watch that?
And think of it, it gives us variety.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all good. And hopefully for the first new episode of, the first new season in quite a while, season 6 for its first episode, we'll have the audience on the show, and hopefully she can give her personalized response to our mystery fan mail. And I think that'll be interesting once we get her on the show, because quite frankly, I find the audience to be a very interesting character. Anyways, for all of you listening audience out there in anime land, this is NZ17
and DB3
signing out for Season 5, Episode 65.